Right, but buy it. But ladies, listen, I hope you understand that your husband can come to church and he can pay tithes and he can read his Bible every day. Listen, he can pray three times a day. He can read his Bible in the morning before he goes to work and at night before he goes to bed. And he can gather his family together and they can pray and they can have family devotions. And he can go out to the nursing home and visit the old people. And he can go throughout the community and he can be a blessing to the widows. And he can do it. But do you know what happens when it all comes to your husband is still living in a body of flesh. His flesh is just as wicked as it was the day before he got saved. He still, his flesh ain't good. That is in his flesh is no good thing. He's still going to have flaws. He's still going to have problems. Hey, sir, our wives, is she, no matter how good, man, if they was to walk on water, they still got to deal with that stinking flesh. Amen. You know, Zach and I were out fishing and Eric gave me a grin back there. And I don't know what he's grinning about, but it made me think about, just walking on water. And, I fell in the ocean one time while I was fishing. And that's the closest I ever come to walking on water. Because when you can't see what's underneath you, I hate being in the water where I can't see what's underneath me and something touches you, sharks down there, man, if I was a shark down there, Lord, you talking about walking on, I could do that. Verse 19, for the good that I would, now listen to what the great apostle Paul is saying. I just want you to try to get this, and all of you already know it. But Paul said, for the good that I would do, I do not. Why? Because Paul's got to fight this stinking flesh. He's got to deal with it. He said, but the evil which I would not, that I do. This ain't a license to sin. This is just a man being honest telling you that there is war going on in his body. And many a times he wants to do the right thing and he don't even know how. He wants to do the right thing and he messes up and does the wrong thing instead of doing the right thing. I mean, we could all bear witness for that. I mean, we could all bear witness. I mean, for God's sake, which one of us cannot say that, man, I try to do good and evil is always present? All of us can say it. He said, for the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do, now try to. These are some real good Bible verses to memorize if you want to warp your brain. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Paul said, "It ain't me. It's not me. It's the sin that dwells in me." And I think a lot of times if you'll listen to Miss Ruth Ann's testimony, I think if you'll pay attention to it, you'll hear her say that. Not in those words. No longer I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. But back then it was her. You understand? Before she got saved, it was her. That's what she was. That's who she was. And that's why she did what she did. And then he said, I find then a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. Boy, I can bear witness with Paul. When I do good, when I would do good, when I want to do good, when I want to pray, when I want to read my Bible, when I want to raise my children, when I want to obey the Word of God, I tell you what I find. I find evil is present. Something's always fighting me. This flesh is always fighting, trying to do good. Isn't that amazing? Here we are sitting in church, ladies and gentlemen, under the sound of God's Word. And would you believe while sitting in church, some of the wickedest thoughts that a human being can have will cross your mind? This is what Paul's dealing with. When I would do good, evil's present. You could be sitting. Listen, Church, I can't emphasize it enough. I know we don't halfway believe it, but this is the greatest thing on planet Earth. This is the greatest thing on planet Earth. This book is the greatest thing on planet Earth. You can take all the great things together and multiply them times 10 billion, and this is still the greatest thing on planet Earth. Amen. The Word of God, just to hold the Word of God in our hand, and we take it for granted, and we just blow it off, and we neglect it, and we count it as nothing. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not, the Word of God is by far the greatest thing on planet Earth today. It surpasses it. There's not even a close second to the Word of God. But while you're sitting there and the Word of God is sitting on your lap and being proclaimed from God's pulpit, listen to what I'm telling you. You can have some of the most careless thoughts. You can have some of the most rebellious thoughts. You can have some of the most wickedest thoughts. You can have some of the most evil thoughts that cross your mind while the Word of God is being proclaimed. Zach talked about an instance this morning with a preacher and his two sons. And unfortunately, Michael, I know all too well exactly what he's talking about. Some of the most vulgar, perverted, wickedness. And I'm talking about underneath the preaching of God's Word, where the Word of God is being laid open on the desk of God. And I'm telling you, it's being proclaimed. And yet people are sitting around with these evil imaginations. And they're doing things that we've never even thought of because of evil inventions. While the Word of God, Paul said, when I do good, evil is always present. I can go to church and have some of the wickedest thoughts. I can sit down with a Bible in my lap and have some of the wickedest thoughts, some of the most perverted thoughts. I can sit in the house of God and I can rebel, I can buck, and I can show my disdain. I can look everywhere besides the Bible. I can do everything but pay attention to the Word of God. What is that? That while you're doing good, evil is present with you. Isn't that amazing? Paul said he had to deal with that. Evil is present. Evil. You know, I ain't going to go into debt on it because I'm not prepared. Depth. I'm not prepared. But I thought when I was down there in Mississippi, Michael, there was times where, you know, we're talking about evil now, right? When I would do good, evil is present. And so why didn't God say when I would do good? Why didn't he have Paul tell us when he would do good, sin is present? Why didn't he say that wickedness is present? Wonder why he chose the word evil. When I do good, evil is always present with me. Evil is present with me. I thought about being down there in Mississippi and the church gave me $300 every time they felt like giving me some kind of a paycheck. Which wasn't every week. And so what I would have to do is I would have to do what I do here, and I'd go out and work and try to make a living and try to, you know, be able to put some beans on the table and, you know, some clothes on our back and stuff like that. By the grace of God, that's how God supplied our needs. Well, that wasn't too bad, Michael. I don't mind a working preacher. I kind of like a working preacher. I think everybody will work a little bit. But here's what happened. You know, it's kind of sinful for them not to give me my money when they agreed to give me $300 a week. Just a sin for them to hold my check out. It's a sin for them, ladies and gentlemen, to tell me that bald-faced lie. It's a sin for them to just kind of have that junk in their heart against the preacher and go, well, we just won't pay them this week. Got three little kids and they're not going to pay. Michael, I would get to the point to where I would go out and do these jobs. We're talking about evil. Well, I would go out and do these jobs, and they started following me, and they seen where I would go out from place to place to put in bins and talk to these homeowners. And, you know, I was going to put in a toilet, or I was going to remodel a bathroom, or I was going to cut a tree down. And they would go in there behind me, and they would take carpenters and wood workers and go in there behind me, and they would bid jobs behind me and underbid. I'm talking about my church people.
I'm talking about the people that had me move from North Carolina 12 hours down the road to Mississippi and said, man, we love you. Oh, we want you. Preacher, we got to have you. The same crowd is the ones, ladies and gentlemen, that went out there to these jobs behind my back and started undercutting me and undermining me. And they started they didn't just take my paycheck. They started cutting my jobs out from underneath me. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about being evil. I'm talking about looking out the window of your house and watching them run around out there in the backyard, sneaking around your house with machetes and shotguns. And right, talking about being evil. That goes beyond sin, ladies and gentlemen. It goes beyond just going, we ain't going to pay him. We're going to starve him. There's a difference between cutting a man's check off and looking at his family and going, we're going to starve him. It goes beyond sin. It becomes evil. Evil in the sight of God. And Paul said, this is what we got to deal with. It's beyond just sin, ladies and gentlemen. There's some evil stuff that's present. Evil. You get to looking, ladies and gentlemen, down there. I mean, you get to uncovering stuff that's buried way down there in our flesh. And I promise you, you're going to find some evil junk that we got to deal with. Yeah. Evil stuff. You listen to me. Bible says if a man looketh upon, Matthew 5:20, if a man looketh upon a woman lust, he's committed adultery with her already in his heart. That's a sin. How much more is it for a man to put his hands on a woman? How much more is it for a man to put his hands on a little child? I'm talking about son going beyond sin and working that which is evil. I mean evil. I'm talking about man getting down there to the very core of hell itself. It's in our flesh. That stuff crawls through our flesh. Evil. I mean, man, my God, yes, we got sin. But I'm talking about evil that crawls through our flesh. This flesh loves it. You can't get perverted enough. There's not enough dope in this world. There's not enough liquor in this world. There's not enough illegitimate stuff in this world. There's not enough perversion in this world. This flesh can never be satisfied with sin. It stoops off into evil things. Said in the house of God, we can. I'm not saying y'all are. I'm just saying we can. And all of you that's got any sense ought to be able to bear witness with the fact that I've sat in church and had evilness approach me. Spirit of God, listen. Spirit of God's got you here. That's right. The Spirit of God's got us here. Why does He have us here? Because He wants us to hear the Word of God. The Spirit of God wants us to hear preaching. The Spirit of God wants us to have fellowship one with another. The Spirit of God wants us to enjoy all the blessings and benefits that comes with a thing called the church. You say, while you're doing that, I promise you, your flesh is going to show itself. You're going to have to fight that flesh. Yeah. Boy, I can pull out some real examples right there. Hey, babe, you got to live with me. And I'll be honest with you, church. My wife has to live with me and she's got to put up with a lot of stupid stuff. But I can promise you unto God, there's a spirit inside of me that desires the things of God. Amen. There's a spirit that God put inside of me that I really, really want to read the Word of God. I mean, man, sometimes more than anything in this world, I just want to get along and sit over there and read my Bible. I wish the phones would go off, bless God. I wish Y2K would come through and the power would go out and the phones would go off. I wish the whole world would just lie in silence. So, man, we could just sit along with God for a little while and hear what He's got to say. There's times in my life, Michael, where there's nothing in this world that I want to do more than just crawl off in a closet somewhere and say, my God and my Father. And hear Him say, my son and my child. I'm telling you, there's times in my life, ladies and gentlemen, where there's nothing in this world I'd rather do in this entire world. I mean, the most exciting, the most thrilling, the most entertaining, the whatever you want to call it, thing that I ever want to do is crawl off somewhere and feel the touch of God Almighty. Just feel it with, hey, Eric, I felt His touch before. I can tell you, church, a few times where God has put His arm around me. Amen. I'm telling you, where He's put His arm around. I knew He put His arm. I knew that He caressed me. I knew that He was holding me in His arms. The lover of my soul. You know what I found out, ladies and gentlemen, every time I go to that prayer closet? You know what I find out every time I try to pick up that Bible? I've got this thing that I got to contend with. It's a blanket called flesh. And I have to fight this stupid stuff, man. I'm telling you, the spirit that God gave me and my flesh are contrary one to the other. And I'm telling you, my flesh hates God and the things of God. It hates righteousness and holiness. It hates purity. It hates virtue. It hates everything that's good and everything that's true. I'm telling you, but there's a spirit inside of me that loves God. He loves holiness. He loves righteousness. He loves, thank God, purity. He loves virtue. And I'm telling you, while the spirit that's inside of me is reaching toward God, there's a flesh wrapped around me that's reaching for hell and reaching for evil and reaching for destruction and reaching for this world. And I have to say, oh God, who's going to deliver me? I need help. It's the same answer every time. Thank God I find my strength and my help and my deliverance through Jesus Christ my Lord. Right? Thank God for Jesus, church. Verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil's present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. The law of God after the inward man. I like that. This means a lost man will simply struggle, ladies and gentlemen, trying to obey the Bible. Lost people will struggle trying to follow the Word. Listen, man, I know lost people, we tell them to seek after God and get after God. But I can promise you, according to the Word of God, you're going to struggle with this book. You're going to struggle with these things. You're going to struggle with the things of God. It's a battle for you to pursue God. It's a battle. I understand that. I mean, if I got to deal with what I've got to deal with, and I have the Spirit of God on the inside of me, I can remember what it was like having to deal with it when the Spirit of God wasn't inside of me, when it was all flesh. You better take time and thank God for the Word of God. Outside that Word, you ain't got no hope, because you ain't got no Spirit of God. You ain't got no Spirit that's willing to do good. I'm telling you, if it wasn't for the Word of God, we wouldn't stand a Chinaman's chance. It's all because of Him. Lost man just simply struggles trying to obey the Bible. I need you to understand that many of the struggles that you have in following God and His Word is simply because you don't have the Spirit of God living on the inside. That's not rocket science. When you get born again, I said, when you get born, God puts a spirit inside of a man. It's your spirit, but it's God's spirit. It belongs to Him. He gave it to you. The breath of life. But when a man gets born again, God takes His spirit and He puts His spirit inside. That's why He said, thereby we cry, Abba Father. Whereby we cry, Abba Father. We have the Spirit of God on the inside. Man, He can pray for us. You hear me? And I'm telling you, He's there to help us. And lost man just don't have that. Lost men don't have that Spirit of God on the inside empowering him to walk in the Spirit. But I'll tell you what he does have. He has the Word of God. He has the Word of God. God give him that. You ever wondered why it's such a burden? Listen to me. This sort of helps some of us. You ever wondered why it's such a burden to come to church? You ever wondered why it's such a burden to be here sometimes? The Spirit of God ain't on the inside. Folks, it's not hard. I'm going to tell you why it's so hard for some people to go to church. Because the Spirit of God ain't there.
right there.
Church becomes a... I'm not being ugly.
I'm not mad at you. I wouldn't expect you to love being at the house of God every week.
If you don't have the Spirit of God, why would you? If you don't have the Spirit of God, why do you love the Word of God? Why do you crave it? You got the Spirit of God. I'm going to tell you what makes a difference. And old Brother Sammy Allen says stuff and people make fun of it. I know we reference to him a lot. Man, he's just had such an impact in our life and said a lot of truthful things, and it made an impact on my life. He said, Michael, we would go into those meetings, them 12, 13-week meetings, them 7, 8, 9-week meetings. And when I say meetings, Mama's here to testify. We'd be in church at 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. A week and a half about kills us today. Say amen. A week of meeting about kills us anymore. We can't have that anymore. We got these three-day little pansy meetings. God ain't meeting in them three-day meetings. I got news for this crowd, friend. Our God, it took us over 3 days. I'm telling you, I'm the pastor. It took us over 3 days to tick the devil off around here. He was pleased till about the fourth day of our meeting. Right. There was some emotions got stirred. Sure. Anybody can do that. My God. You can listen to a good country western song and he can whine enough to make you cry.
Brother Sammy said, I've heard him say it 1,000 times, I've heard him say it once. When you try to go to these meetings in your flesh, they'll wear you out. They will wear you out. But when you're walking in the Spirit, 13-week meeting ain't nothing, son.
I mean, just as fresh week 13 as you was week 1. Man, you say, preacher, what are you talking? I'm just talking about the Spirit of God on the inside of a man. It makes a difference when you go to church. The Spirit of God makes a difference when you pick up that Bible. The Spirit of God makes the difference, ladies and gentlemen, when you head out toward that prayer closet. Oh, don't you think? Preacher, I thought you said. I did say it. I'll promise you, Zach, today I can walk out of this pulpit and I can have my sight set on that secret place and I will literally have to fight my stinking flesh all the way there. As a saved man.
And you know what helps you, pastor, get in that secret place? The Spirit that God put inside of your pastor. I can square my shoulders as much as my flesh hates it. As many excuses as I have, I can have 49 irons in the fire. And I can have 20 fires to put out. And I can have my plate running over, slam over on the table. And I can come up with every reason in the world why I can't go in there and pray right now. Why I can't go get along with God and read my Bible right now. There's every reason in the world, and some of them might even make good sense to the entire world. But there's a spirit inside of me that says this, greater is he that's in me. I know my flesh don't like it.
I know your flesh don't like my preaching. I know your flesh don't like anybody's preaching. I know your flesh don't like the Bible. I know your flesh, because mine don't like it either. None of our flesh likes it. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, Lord God, I probably shouldn't say that. I've known people all my life, and including myself, even when I was lost, I liked certain preachers. Amen. I just like preachers. Just the difference when God put his Spirit inside of me.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Since I keep saying it's not rocket science, who's leading you if the Spirit of God ain't?
Who leads a lost person? Because it ain't the Spirit of God. Spirit of God, he's not in you. You're none of his. I'm going to tell you what leads a lost person. Flesh. Flesh leads them. Every once in a while you get a person, listen.
Every once in a while you'll get God to walk over. Mama, I think about where we grew up and how we had that old creek running down behind the house, and some of them had them old caves. You could go back in there underneath the banks, and it was always just snaky and cold. But we would go down there and dig in those banks and pull out the clay. It was clay in there. I'm talking about old gray and white clay. And we could go down there. And man, you could get that clay and literally form it and fashion it, shape it into whatever you wanted to. It was real clay like these people work with. It wasn't red mud. But I never one time went down in that creek. Not one time did I ever go down in that creek as a boy and ever hear any of that clay say, hey boy, come over here and get me. No. I was always the one that went over there and got. I'm just trying to say, if God will take his shovel, listen to me. If God will take his shovel of grace and stick it in your heart. If he'll take his shovel of grace and stick it in your old heart of clay. Then, ladies and gentlemen, your heart will get up and go, I want to read my Bible. I want to pursue after God. I want to get after this thing, man. I want to find the answers. I want to get help. I want to have that peace. I want to know real joy. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Joy ain't running around skipping and whistling Dixie and tiptoeing around and playing in the flower patches. That ain't joy. That ain't joy. I mean, for God's sake, you tell Jesus, the prime example, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, while he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. You don't have no joy, Jesus. There's a joy, friend. When he was hanging on that cross, you hear me? I'm telling you, his Father, it was a joy. I mean, he wasn't running through no flower patches, and he wasn't singing no little cute songs, and he wasn't making all the little boys and girls circle around him. But your Bible does say for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross and despised and the shame. What a joy it was. I mean, he was full of joy, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, you might not have heard a song, but wow, for the ages to come, there's going to be a song in the heart and the mouth of the believer because of the joy that he had on Calvary. Man. Boy, he could see you one day. He could see me one day. I'm telling you, it was a joy for him to be able to see his bride, thank God, come through that cross. What a joy. Don't you ever mistake happiness. Don't you ever mistake stupidity for joy. I'm telling you, bless God, I can get plumb happy when I catch a redfish. That's right. I get happy. You let me catch a 40-pound redfish, and I can, boy, I'm telling you, I'm on cloud 49. It ain't got a stinking thing in the world to do with joy. I can be just as joyous catching my fish as I ever was in my life. But you couldn't tell. Might be in a prison cell somewhere. Huh? What about Apostle Paul? You think Apostle Paul was a punk? They had them holes in the ground where everybody's raw sewage running to. They took their feces and their urine and they're running them holes in the ground. What's them holes known as? They're known better as prisons, and that's where they stuck Apostle Paul down in them sewers. Chained him up and threw him in the septic tanks. Paul said, here's what I want y'all to do. I want you to greet all the saints in Caesar's household. Caesar's household, he said. Caesar was a wicked, vile individual that knew not God. There wasn't no Christians running around in Caesar's house. They hated God. They hated the things of God. They was in idolatry and everything else under the sun besides God. And Paul said, when you see the saints of Caesar's household, I want you to salute them old boys, because I met them down there in a dung cell somewhere. I met them in a prison cell where that sewage was flowing through, and I got to win them to God. I'm telling you, it may not look very joyful, and it might have been a stench of a place to be, but Paul had the joy of God flowing through him. Why? Because he had the Spirit of God. Imagine living in a septic tank somewhere. Not yours, of everybody else's. Imagine those martyrs as they're sitting there burning at the stake. Huh? As they lift up their heads and they're rejoicing in the Lord as they're burning, the flesh is burning literally off the bones of their body. And their guts and stuff start squeaking, gushing through the bones. And them men sit there and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. said, "Preacher, how is this possible?"
Because the Spirit of God that lives inside of a man, Spirit of God makes it possible. Well, I'll tell you what we need today. We need the Spirit of God. Huh? The lost people need the Spirit of God. Saved people need not to quench the Spirit of God. Be good for us. I hate to see it, but it's reality. It's a sad reality. Moms and dads try to get their children to live for God. And yet, that stuff is a grief to that teenager. Let me tell you something, mamas and daddies. I know Zach seems to be hard, but I promise you, if he ever quits preaching the way he does, I'll quit preaching him. We'll let him preach. Compromise on him a little bit. Watch your time slip away. Got time for that junk. Thank God for young men that ain't learned how to say everything. Thank God for Jimmy Lou's testimony. That is a blessing. God help us not to learn how to say things. Ever how we treat God may be how our children treat us. The way you treat God may be the way your children end up treating you. What if we count God as nothing? I'm going to tell you what them children's going to do. They're going to grow up and count you as nothing. They very well could. What you going to say if they do? Don't do as I've done. Don't you treat me the way I've treated God. Why? What gives you the right to treat me? I fed you all these years. I've put a roof over your head. I've put clothes on your back and shoes on your feet. You have no right to treat me like... What gives you the right to treat God like that? It's no good. And yet we want our children to grow up and live for God. Who don't? Who don't want our children to have Christian character? Who don't want them being honest human beings? Who don't want them being a good wife? Who don't want their little daughters to have a good man one day that's going to take care of her the way she deserves to be taken care of? Who don't want that good stuff? Who don't want their son to have a good woman that's going to be faithful and learn how to keep that home and take care of their children while he's away? Who in the name of God don't want that? How much more does God want us to obey him? How much more does God want us to obey his word? How much more does God want us to desire him and get after him? My God, we don't even know how to have right desires for our children. I mean, we're just flesh and bone, ladies and gentlemen. We don't much know. Listen, if we know how to give good gifts, how much more does our Father know? So much more. Stuff's a grief to our teenagers. Why is this stuff a grief to our teenagers? Why, Mama, do I have to sit and watch people like Kaylee from the time she's this little girl's age running around? And I mean, just a precious little thing. She was this size one time. I can remember that. I can remember her running around the church parking lot just pure and innocent. And then you have to sit and watch them grow up, become teenagers, 18 years old, and they meet some jackass that's running the streets of Baby County. Get all messed up, and I mean, bring scars and regret and heartaches and trouble. The girl didn't just do that. I happen to be a man. I wish to God the whole family was here. But when your daddy sits in the middle of the church and cocks his head back in his mouth over because he's peeled up, what in the name of God do you expect your children to do? We expect your children to do when your daddy comes to church high and can't sit up straight in the house of God. What do you expect your children to do when you sit there and disdain God? When you don't care enough to even care a Bible? When you won't even look at the scriptures? When you don't pray? When you don't live at home? When it's just a blasphemy? What do we expect them to do? Come crying to me. Picking on my brother. My God Almighty does it out in front of everybody. I ain't got to pick on him. Wonder why our children go to hell. It's no wonder. No wonder why they mess up. It's no wonder why they go. There's no reality of God. All they can hear is some old dead sound. It's a grief. It's a grave where there's no real presence of God anymore.
Dads can't even turn that television off 5 seconds to answer a child's question anymore. No.
There used to be a time where Dad could be plowing the field and he would shut the mules down and take time for his children. He may not could give them all the answers, but right there in the middle of a piece of land, they could get on their knees and say, "Son, I don't know what the answer is, but God knows what it is. Let's just pray about it right here and now."
There's a whole generation that knew God in a way that
we're not seeing today. Go buck wild. Moms and dads freak out. Listen, you know how many moms and dads I've seen compromise because their kids go wild? I got kids that ain't living for God. Pat them suckers on the back. I don't patronize them. Yeah. I love my kids with all my heart. God knows I'll jack them up, and I ain't talking about being tough. I'm talking about telling them the truth. I'll jack them up in a stinking heartbeat to tell them the truth. Why? Because they're going to die and go to hell. They're going to die and go to hell. They're going to die and go to hell. They're going to raise children for hell. They're going to raise children for hell. They're going to raise children that's going to go to hell themselves. Michael, them stupid parents. And I'm a parent. But them stupid parents compromise. This is their compromise. They don't start smoking dope and drinking liquor. This is their compromise. It's more religious than drinking and doping. Well, I don't want to lose my children.
Right.
I don't want to lose her.
Already lost
her.
Right.
When you got to come to the place where you make that comment, you've already lost him. They're already gone, ladies and gentlemen. When you get to that point, it's over. It's too late. Listen, you don't have to compromise. The best thing in the world to do is to stand strong. Stand strong. Thank God, gird up your loins and stand strong. Stand there. Thank God. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Don't you compromise. They'll never get to God. Never get to God watching a compromiser. Ain't been real to them all their stinking life. Never has been real to them. You show up at the house of God and act like a decent person and go home and your kids see rotten as hell junk, and then you're going to make a compromise. They'll never get to God. I tell you, make them wish to God they never seen the day you was born. Right, stand strong. Maybe if you tick them off good enough, I promise you, maybe if you tick them off, make them mad enough. Maybe if you just make them mad enough, they might give more than just a peon of a second of thought toward this thing of God. Right. Otherwise, moms, go home and take the stinking agitator out of your washing machine. Because it's aggravating your clothes. Right. It's getting the dirt out. Praise God, leave the agitator in there. Be an agitator to your children. That's the Spirit of God, ladies and gentlemen. That's what He does. He agitates you. He'll drive you about half crazy every once in a while. So you get things right with God. And I'm so glad He does. Man, leave the agitators alone. They're there for a reason. They got them new washing machines now. Don't work nearly as good as them old ones. Because they're a little more politically correct today. They got them smooth little agitators in them. Instead of that big old thing coming up in the middle rocking that world, they got that little thing down there in the bottom. And all you women have complained when you made that transition. I've listened to all these they all complain until they get used to the non-agitation. Takes twice as long for the clothes to get clean. I've heard it all. Just don't do the same thing. Leave them agitated. Many wonder why in the world the kids act like they do. When mom and dad ain't walked a day in the Spirit of God in a day of their life. No wonder the kids act like they do. They ought to be a bunch of hellions. They ought to go by the way of the world. Mom and dad ain't never walked one day in the Spirit of God. What a shame. What a shame for a kid to grow up and never see a mom and dad walk in the Spirit. Kids don't deserve a bigger house. They don't deserve fancier clothes. Boy, it'd be nice for them to see a mom and dad walking in the Spirit, though. You know it. Boy, we don't want to pray. The greater is He that's in me. We're going to pray. Spirit of God, man. We don't want to have family devotion because I'm tired. Greater is He that's in me. They get to see some faithfulness. There's a change. There's something different. Mom and dad. Oh, dear God, something's different. Boy, I'll tell you, I believe in hope. As long as God's on the throne, I believe in hope. Well, you know why this God stuff ain't a grief to me? It ain't because I'm a good person, ladies and gentlemen. It's because the Spirit of God dwells in me. Bible reading ain't a grief. Say, preacher, I don't understand. Listen to me. This word becomes a grief to a sinner. That's why the laws of God are grievous. It's what God said, they're grievous. Sure, going to church is a grief sometimes. I got a news flash for you. It ain't because the church is a bunch of idiots. The church is the bride of Christ. It's because you're lost and on your way to hell. That's why church is a grief. That's why Bible, hey, that preacher, all he does talks about reading your Bible. Oh, you want to read your Bible. I'm going to tell you why that's a grief, because you don't have the Spirit of God. Oh, he talks about that secret place. My God, I hear the same thing over and over. It's a grief to me. It's because you don't have the Spirit of God. Spirit of God makes all that change. Church, I'm not saying it because it's a cute thing to say. But Mom, I thought about you this week, and I understand what you went through this week. Coming off of medications is a tough, tough thing when you go cold turkey. I understand that. I've laid on the floor and I've shook like a little old rag doll and begged my son to come over and pray over my shaking body and sweating and hurting and just going through them withdrawals and all that junk leaving my body. Here's what I thought of, Mama. Amazing Grace, as many times as you've heard it, I thought about this week. Amazing Grace would be a little bit different to you. You say, why? Because through many dangers, toils, and steps. When I sing that song, I think about me sometimes, laying on that floor over there in that living room, shaking and quivering uncontrollably. I think about breaking out in the cold sweats and my body going into aching. And I think about, man, my God, I'd rather be dead. I'd rather be dead. I wish I'd just die versus laying here like this. Yeah. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Boy, I'm telling you, it's good to be saved. It's good to know Him. Amen. Amen. It's good to know, thank God, that my Redeemer liveth. It's good to know that while you're even laying on the floor and you're going through this whole junk that your body goes through, that, ladies and gentlemen, thank God, that one of these days you're going to get to stand face to face with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank God. Get to see Jesus. My inward man delights in the things of God. That new man delights in the things of God. Before I got saved, Michael, my mama was trying to get me to go to church. And the last thing I wanted to do was go to church. The night I got saved, Eric, I went to church to make her shut up. She's like that little widow woman over there bothering that judge. I said, my God. If I don't go to church, she ain't gonna leave me alone. I'm just gonna go to church and she'll get off my back. I've told y'all, I went to church that night, sit right in the lap of the Holy Ghost. God was in control of every bit of it. Right. And up to that point, Miss Debbie, I wasn't seeking after God. I wasn't looking for God. I was looking to get her off my back, man. Just leave me alone. I mean, I got a good job, everything's running fine. Me and my wife, we're doing our thing. Leave us alone. I'm going to tell you something. When he stuck that shovel in my heart, I could not wait to get out of there. I said, boy, I got to get to God. I wasn't doing that before I went in there. But when he stuck his shovel in my heart, I said, I have got to get to Him.
And I sure wasn't going to sit on that altar. Listen to me. Before I knew anybody that I know today, I'm telling you, I said, I'm not going to sit on that altar and let them pump stuff in me. I'm not going to let these people talk to me. I want to do business with God. I want to get along with God. I want this between Him and me. And I want to know Him personally. I didn't need all that. I heard enough Bible verses to save the entire world by the time I was 5 years old. I didn't need a Romans road to come shove down my throat. I didn't need that.
Yeah.
I was having me a Damascus road experience. You understand? I didn't need a bunch of Baptists running up there cramming stuff down my throat telling me what to say. I didn't have one of the professions, Michael. I didn't sit on my knees as a 15-year-old boy and I was getting me a place and I was getting me a time and I put an X on the floor and I looked at the clock. It was 15 minutes to 10. And I mean, if July 6, 1981, I'm telling you, I marked the spot and I marked the time. And I'm telling you, God never marked my soul. When I knew that night when he stuck that shovel in me, I said, oh my God, I need his mercy. I want to get somewhere with him. And I'm telling you, I wasn't going to go to bed that night. And I wasn't going to be turning him off no more until I'd done business with him. Made a difference. Made a difference. Not one time since that night has she ever had to call me up and say, you gonna come to church?
Woo! Ain't nobody had to call me up and say, man, I wish you'd come tonight. I wish you'd come to meeting. We sure do miss you. Would you come to church tonight? Man, I went to my church. I went to his church. I went to her church. I'll tell you, if I heard they was having church, I just wanted to be there. Why? Because I'm a sorry, no good for nothing, nobody. You hear me? But there's a spirit that God put inside of me that said, I love the things of God. Man, I can hear a preacher preaching on the radio. I don't have to know his name. I don't have to know the size of his church. But if he's preaching that book right there, there's a spirit that's bearing witness with my spirit. There's a rejoicing that goes on. I love it. I love it. I don't care who he is. I don't care if he's black. I don't care if he's green. I don't care if he's white. If he's preaching that book, thank God, makes something inside of me that loves the Word of God. I'm telling you, man, I crave to get around some of people that loves the Word of God. I crave to get around people that are saved by the grace of God. I crave to get around somebody and just let them tell me what God told them, something they got from the Bible. Man, I used to couldn't care less about that. And now we'll drive across the country to have fellowship one with another. Isn't that amazing? Whew. Just want to be around some like-minded people. My flesh used to do that. I've done got carried away. I'm not going to even scratch the surface here again today. I just said what God wanted me to, though. I believe that. Paul said, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, excuse me. This is what he said. This is the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. This stuff has got sin in it. You hear me? It's still just as wicked as it ever was. That's why we got to do all that girding, Eric. I thought about the girding up your loins. What is them loins, ladies and gentlemen? That's them secret places. I mean, we could get what the world calls legalistic. Nobody ever ought to see your loins because them's the secret places. Nobody would ever see your loins. Or not never see them legs like you. Then you see, gird up the loins of your mind. Why? I got some old secret thoughts up in there. I got some thoughts that I don't want nobody else to ever know that go through my old stupid mind. And if I don't gird that thing up just right, gird it up with truth, ladies and gentlemen. girded up with the Word of God. If I don't saturate my mind with the Word of God, my mind ain't worth shooting. It's so filthy. It's so vile. It's so corrupt. I can come up with the stupidest stuff you ever dreamed of. Guess what? I don't mind telling you that, because you do too. We're all bodies of flesh. We all face the same junk. Some of us are saved and some of us ain't. My prayer for you that ain't is that, boy, you know God. That Spirit of God moves inside of you. What a difference it makes when the Spirit of God takes over. What a difference it makes. This old no good preacher will become a blessing to you when you get saved. That's right. All that stuff changes. The burden of your heart will roll away. All that stuff changes. Spirit of God takes over. I still didn't get to Romans chapter 8. Father, we thank you for this time. I'm a quit, Lord. I believe I've said what you wanted me to say. I believe I've said enough. I'm afraid if I say anything else, Lord, it might be a hindrance to what you're trying to do here today. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done. Thank you, Lord, for Eric's lesson this morning. It's been a tremendous blessing to hear him go through those chapters of Job. And thank you, dear God, for that good word from Zach, God, to preach to our hearts and lay that demand on us. And Lord, for what you've done for us through this little thought in Romans, I pray, God, that you'd continue to bless it. Bless this congregation, the mamas and the daddies and the children. Lord, that's my heart. That's what I care about, this congregation. Lord, this family, Lord, I love them and thank you for them. Pray, God, that you'd help us to grow in grace and knowledge and truth. Jesus Christ, we love you and thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.